Second Kings chapter 17. I appreciate the privilege to be here tonight. I'm glad you're here in the assembly. I don't know where you are tonight in the journey. You can smile at me and greet me and say things are going fine.
Right.
But sometimes they're not.
Right.
Every saint of God that I've known has a Garden of Gethsemane experience.
Yes, sir.
When they've about sweat blood over where they are. So many things we don't know. I don't know why that young boy down the road, good mom and a good daddy, got cancer and died.
Yeah.
But I know there's a God in heaven.
Amen.
That knows about my case.
That's right.
And he's for me.
Amen.
He's on my side.
Right.
And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For this saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You may be seated. I've been preaching since 1960. I've seen a lot of things, had a lot of experiences. A lot of them I don't understand. Some of them I do understand now that I didn't understand back down the road. But our nation tonight, I know, is burning. It's here in this instance, every spiritual light had gone out.
Yep.
Ahab and Jezebel was in the White House, the two worst, most evil people that Israel ever had in the White House. The priesthood had gone afoul. Nobody wanted what God wanted. Jezebel and Ahab was plugging for themselves and nobody else. But there was a man of God in the land.
Amen.
The hope, the only hope. Ahab could call a name and kill a man or a woman and nothing could be said. But this man of God's not afraid. Oh, for again, when we have men of God that are not afraid. He came down to Ahab's castle and went straight in where he was. I thought about nobody else, I guess, could do that. All the guards and where he was. But the man of God came in. Message wasn't very long. He didn't have to have an introduction. Didn't have any announcements. Didn't tell about any pay rides and games and Easter egg hunts. But came to the king and said, God said. Ain't that wonderful? There'll be no dew or no rain until I say so. What a man. Went out of the castle without saying, I love you and your family and I'm praying for you and I want to shake hands with you and hug you before I leave. And God said to him, told him where to go. There's a place for you in time of trouble. There's a place for me in time of trouble where God will take care of us. God said, give him a definite place to go to. Now, give him definite directions. You look at it again and told him exactly where to go because he said, I've told the crows, I talked to the crows this morning, and told them where you'd be. And they're going to come and take care of you. And I want you to go down by the brook Kereth. Thank God for my place. Where God wants me has a place for you. I guess it looked crazy for Elijah to go down and sit by the brook, sit by the spring, lean back against a tree and not worry about what's going on. And along about 4 o'clock, here come the crows.
Amen.
Now I think the best food in the land would be in Ahab's house. And I think that's where the crows got it. Now every one of you, men and women, ladies and gentlemen, Christians and lost people, there's a path for you. I thank God for giving me a path to travel.
Amen.
Some of it's been through the woods. Some of it's been through the valleys. But there's been days in the open field and on the mountaintop. If I stayed on the path where God put me.
Amen.
I've been studying a lot now. I'm not going to as many meetings because of my health condition and I've studied a lot and prayed more. And I've studied about the second coming. That's important to me now as my hair gets more white. And I figured out when he's coming. I got it all down now to the very minute. He come and he gets good and ready. We used to play hide and seek, you know, and they'd count down, and then he got down to 100 or whatever, he'd say, ready or not, here I come. And that's where we're at tonight, ready or not, here I come. But I know there's a little path for me, just right down through this crooked world that Washington, D.C. and Frankfort, Kentucky has nothing to do with. And God wants me to stay on that path and go where He tells me to go. And if I do, I may not see many crows, but God's going to take care of me.
Amen.
It may not look like it sometimes. But He takes care of me no matter how it looks. Doesn't make any difference. And the crows came. Nothing said much about Elijah. That word Elijah means Jehovah is my God. The Tishbite from Gilead. This word Gilead means a rocky place. I got to looking this up and about to shout it. The Tishbite, that means I'm a stranger here, settle in until I can move on. That's about what it means. So here we got a preacher whose name means Jehovah is my God, and I'm going through an awful rocky place, but I'm just here for a while, and then I'm a passing on. Every one of us here tonight, every one of us, there's a God in heaven that's a running things. And you sometimes have to live to learn some of these things. You can't just wake up some morning and say, I know this and I know that. Experience and the gray in your hair will let you understand a lot of things you never understood before. Yeah. That there's a God in heaven that knows about me. Yeah. And Elijah's down by the brook. I don't know how long he stayed there, but he stayed till God got ready for him to move. Somebody came to me and said, Preacher, I've come up from Eastern North Carolina to hear you preach, and I got to talk to you after service. And I said, I'd be glad to. After service, he came and said, there's a bigger church wanting me to pastor them up here closer to home. And I don't know what to do. And I come up here to get you to tell me what to do. And I said, well, I can tell you. There won't be any problem about that. And he said, well, tell me. I said, well, I was in the Army taking basic training. And our basic training ended after 2 months, I think. We was getting ready to pull out. So they came in and told us we was going to Korea. We all called home and said, we're going to Korea. Get everything ready. And about that time, somebody else come in and said, we're going to Germany. Everybody run to the phones and called again and said, we're not going to Korea, we're going to Germany. Somebody came back in after a while and said, we're all staying right here. They're going to place us here in Fort Gordon, Georgia. We called back home and finally the sergeant came in and we said, where are we going? He said, what's going on? We told him and he said, where were your last orders to go? And we said we had orders to stay here until we heard Father. Right. He said, unload everything you got then and go to bed and go to sleep. And I'm just waiting for orders for my next move, thank God. That the God that made the heavens and the earth considers me to tell me where to go and what to do. Yeah. Deacon Board, thank God, don't have anything to do with it. Neither does Frankfurt nor Washington, D.C. And lo and behold, the brook dried up. Everything's going good. He went right where God told him to go, sitting down there, and the crows are feeding him. They're bringing him meat and drinking out of the brook. The world is swirling around him and going to hell. He looks one morning and there's no water in the brook. You talk about a bad time when you worked it out and things are going good and all at once the brook dries up. You can't figure out why in the world has this happened to me. Ka, ka. God said, down yonder in Zarephath. Now I'm going to tell you what the scholars say. They say that's Jezebel's hometown. That's just like God to hide his man down in Jezebel's hometown. Said, I've been talking to a widow woman down there to sustain you. I'll tell you, there's lots of trouble in this old world. If you pay attention to the newscast, you'll about go completely insane.
You're right.
I don't know what America's going to do. I think we've sealed our own doom. I think we've said through every election, we don't want it like it was. We want it like we want it, and we don't know exactly what we want, but we want to have a good time. We don't want to pay for it. And the further we go, the more evil we want to get. God help us tonight. I put on my church sign. Mixed marriage is wicked. Same-sex marriage is wicked. That's what she said. On the other side, I put abortion is murder. I've been expecting for it to be tore down. Doesn't make any difference. I talked to my deacons about it, and they said we need a new one anyhow. Well, we're in a mess, but I'm wondering about you. What are you going to do? You're satisfied under God's plans to stay by the brook until you get further orders? Amen. Ever since I got in the ministry, I've been a student of prayer. Amen. Trying to learn all I can about praying. Not much going on now.
Right.
Most of the books and pamphlets I got a hold of about praying, I wonder if them men ever prayed. I wonder if they've ever been under the whip and under the curse of the world. We pray till we can't pray. Agonize and wonder if finally if it does any good to pray. Y'all ever been there?
Yes, sir.
When the skies turn to flint. You wonder if the God in heaven's gone to sleep. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I wish I could talk to you just between me and you about praying.
Amen.
I'd like to talk to you about getting a hold of the Holy Spirit and Him letting you know what the will of God is for you to pray for. To be known. When you get out to pray and you're talking to God and not looking for words, they're just coming to you. And you know God's putting words in your mouth.
Amen.
We're so proper. Make sure we're saying everything just right. And it's a shame and a disgrace in the sight of God. There's times I go to my prayer place and don't do anything for 10 or 15 minutes but holler help. But after a while, Brother Herbert, here it comes. Arise and go to Zarephath. Elijah arose and went. You move around a lot. I started preaching in 1960. In a lot of places and seen a lot of things. And I've seen men and women change what they used to do, what they're praying, and the way they live. They've quit that and gone now. All them people that ridiculed me and told me what to do and how to preach to have an effective ministry, many of them's out of the ministry now. What are you going to do, Brother Hanley? Just the last orders I got. Just preach hellfire and brimstone.
Amen.
Stay on my knees and drink out of the fountain God gives me.
Amen.
Labor while I've got time to labor.
Yes, sir.
When the sun goes down, I'll turn this in. And go to yonder's world.
Amen.
Are you going where God wants you to go?
Amen.
We got so much education now, we've about educated ourselves out of God.
You're right, preacher. Yeah.
Sure, you're right.
I was up north, I don't go up there much. I cross the Ohio River to go north, and I got so now if I do and I get to the out across the river, I say, "Bye, Lord, I'll see you," and I get back. But me and Dr. So-and-so was out of riding. I was helping him in the meeting, the precious man. I said, "Doc, talk to me. I want to glean from you. Been to school all these years and got a doctorate, and I don't have anything but a saving and a calling."
Amen.
And he began to talk. And after a while, I said, "Doc, that's beyond me. I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "I want you to talk to me now and tell me about yourself and your journey." And I said, "I will." And I got to talking, and I noticed that old Lincoln car was weaving in the road. After a while, he said, "A lot of that's Greek to me. So sometimes I'd rather not know what I don't know than to..."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now God's talked to the crows and tell them where to go. Y'all believe he knows crow language?
Yes, sir.
And if God can direct them to help us, you reckon he knows other things how to help us out?
Sure. Amen.
Said, "I've been talking to a widow woman down yonder, and she's going to help you. You get down there to her." Whole lot of preachers today is joined up with the machinery, though. You know, you can't depend on God to help. It's got to kick up on all the machinery and everything joined up with the world.
Right.
Do what the world's doing.
Yes, sir. Help us, Lord. You're right.
But you shut down all that machinery, and if you can get a hold of them crows, they can bring help to you.
Amen.
Yeah, there's a widow woman. She's in bad shape. Just her and her boy. Got nothing to eat. She's out gathering two sticks. And that's about what I'm preaching on tonight. Two sticks. So she's got two sticks. And I've got that much. I'm kind of feeble in my mind and body, but I've got two sticks. And if I rub them together enough, I can make a fire.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
They ain't nutty, and I love y'all. I got respect for y'all and the preachers across the land.
Amen.
But I wouldn't trade with them tonight for nothing in the world.
Amen.
And Elijah goes down, and this word "there" is in there three times at least. You know, he was there and she was there and the crows were there.
Amen.
Where they're supposed to be.
Amen.
When all the rivers are stopped and the smoke's gone off of every battlefield, the woods are all burnt, where are you going to be?
Yeah.
A Baptist church is about shut down, and I'm telling you, it's a happening.
Yes, it's happening.
The crowds are getting smaller and smaller, and nobody knows anything about real old time holiness and godliness anymore.
Right.
Where are you going to be? Where's God put you? You are looking for another place when God hasn't said anything about you moving or leaving. I've been where I'm at 30 years. I'm going to go 20 more. I'm going to try to.
Amen.
was in Chicago, or that near there. And the preacher said, you want to go over and Hammond see the big house church? And I said, well, yeah, I'd like to go see it. We got ready and went over and went to the front door, and the office is there. Said, we want to see the church. And he said, all our guides are busy right now. In a few minutes, one of them will come back and they'll show you around. And they did. We went through a room going to the main room. It's a lot bigger than this here. Three times bigger, and it's full of baby beds. And I said, what's this? I said, this is our nursery. And I said, how many did you have in the nursery Sunday? He checked his book and said, 500 babies in the nursery Sunday. We went out in the auditorium. I don't know whether y'all seen it or not. Just layered, you know, like kind of like a stadium. Pulpit was white. I don't think there was a glass shield there then. I understood there was later. I said, can I go up there and stand behind that pulpit? And he said, well, yeah, Brother Mabry, go up there and stand. I said, how many did y'all have in church Sunday? And he flipped through his pages again and said, 25,000. I said, how many will this hold? And I think he said 7,000. Something wrong there somewhere. Yeah. And he said, preacher, what are you crying about? The pastor that I was working with. And I said, thank God for Union Chapel where I preach.
Amen.
I said, Hal's come down here, these people here in the hills and mountains run him off. Yeah. And if I come up here, they'd run me off. Yeah. And so I'm glad of where I'm at.
Yeah, man.
I bet Elijah said, I'm glad of the spring. Thank you, Crows.
Amen.
I appreciate you, but I got orders from headquarters to move on.
Amen.
I'm about to have a Friday night fit. I'm glad there's a place for me. I'm glad God hadn't missed a lick or a step in my life. And He's got a path for me to travel. And if I'll stay in it, He's scripturally, by His Word, obligated to see to me. Now, seeing to me don't mean that it's going to be good every day. There's valleys I've got to go through, and I know that from prayer and being close to where He is.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's some rough, I'm still in the flesh, and there's some rough days.
Right.
All of my kids don't suit me what they do. All of my grandkids don't suit me what they do.
Right.
But God's ways does.
Yeah.
And if I keep my sanity, if the Lord God will help me in the days to come, I want to walk closer and pray more and stay closer to Him and stay in my path and use my little two sticks.
Yeah.
That's all she had, but God told her what to do with them. She said, I'm going to take these and build a fire. And it's all over. But it wasn't over. His eyes on the sparrow, it's on me.
Amen.
Praise His holy name.
Yes,
there's sunshine where there used to be shadows. He saved me early one morning, and I went down there, and our church didn't believe in shouting. I come back, I was doing it. And I'm still doing it tonight.
Amen.
You ever been discouraged, preacher? Sure, didn't know what to do, nor which way to go. But morning came, the sun come up, another day.
Amen.
I took my two sticks, worked for God. Some of you probably can't do anything. But you got two sticks. You can go to church.
Amen.
The first time I went to North Carolina, preached in a church, St. John's Baptist Church. And there's two deaf-mute fellas came every night, sat over here on the second seat. And while I was preaching, they were just carrying on. And I thought, this can't be right. They would just grin and hit their hands together. I had a lady there that teaches the sign language. Did then. And I said, come here, Miss Christie. I want to ask you something. I want you to ask them people what they get out of all this. Here they come crowding in for service every night and just grin and carry on while I'm preaching. And I want you to ask them why they come here. And she went over and motioned to them, and she come back and said, they said they like the vibrations. I do too. The widow woman will take care of you there. Did you ever have God to tell you to be all right? And in the middle of the night, the God that made the heavens and the earth speak to my heart and to you and say, I'm with you. That's enough.
Amen.
I'd been preaching at a church for a week and no results at all,
yeah.
Far as I knew.
Right.
I'd go out to, they'd all come in and a big crowd each night. Wasn't a real big church, but full every night. I'd walk out between them, and they'd never say to me 25 or 30 on the porch and smoking and talking. When I went out through them, they'd never say a word to me and go across the road and get in my car. And on the last night of the meeting, I have a side door. I better not name the church. But they had a side door, and I said, Lord, I'm out of here. Went out and went around through the cars and crossed the road and got in my car and went up through the hills and the valleys and mountains and got over where there's a big woods. And I said, God, are you, do you know where I am? And it seemed like I would turn the radio and turn it on, and down in New Orleans, I guess it's New Orleans, Mays Jackson had on the truck driver's special. He said, in a moment, inspirations are going to sing. But I feel divinely led to pray before I preach tonight. He said, dear Father, somewhere out yonder tonight in the dark, as a preacher going up the lonely side of the mountain, would you go and get in the car with him and let him know that you're still God? Brother Downey, I come to myself out there in the woods, a beating on, trying to swing on a grapevine.
Amen.
It ain't all gone. It's still around. The power of God's still real. The same crows that fed Elijah can feed me. I've never been sorry that I trusted in the Lord. He said, ma'am, I'm needing a drink of water. She just turned to go. She didn't say, who are you? What you're doing? Who you think you are? We're in a drought. God had already talked to her.
That's
right. Said, there's a man coming down through the valley up there. I've been taking care of him. And he don't look like much. Pretty hairy old outfit. Just tell you the truth, if he come to my church, I wouldn't let him preach.
Yeah.
And he said, I tell you what you do. She said, I don't have anything. He said, I want something to eat. I don't have anything. Just got a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil in a barrel. And I've got these two sticks here, and I'm going to make a fire. And we're going to cook it, and then we're going to die. Wonder why God didn't tell her earlier that she wasn't going to die, that everything would be all right. I'll tell you, you'd be amazed at how much he leaves the men of God to tell folk.
That's right.
Yeah. And they won't listen.
Yep.
Yeah.
How many times do you know, preacher and preacher's family, that you said to that family, don't do that.
Yep.
Don't move to the city.
Right.
Don't take that job.
Right.
Don't you and your wife do what you say you're going to do.
Right.
Pay no attention to you at all.
Right.
Down the road there's a train wreck. You go to the hospital and try to talk to them. And they...
Right.
Yeah. One of my friends said they called me and said they ain't lose about dead. She's wanting you to come. She's in the hospital and her family's with her, and she told him she wanted to see you. He said, I got ready as quick as I can and went to the hospital and went in. She's laying there, just her eyes open. The family gathered around and crying. Said, Miss Lou, you want to talk to me? She motioned him down. He got down where he could hear and said, what do you want, Miss Lou? And she said, there is a land that's fairer than day.
Amen.
Amen. When all the shadows gather together around you and you're in your Gethsemane, look like there's no hope. You know, God didn't answer his own son's prayer that day. Didn't answer Moses' prayer when he wanted to go into the promised land. Y'all know that? God don't answer all prayers. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll take your two sticks and do what God wants you to with them, there's help on the way.
Amen.
He said, before you make your cakes for y'all, you make one for me. Boy, that's a cure selfish preacher. But she had to put God first.
That's right.
Well, that's hard sometimes. When things ain't going well at home and your children ain't doing like what they're supposed to do and you know what you need to do. And you know everybody in the world's going to talk about you. I'm going to tell you here tonight, I got a saving and a calling back there behind me, and I'm proud of every bit of it.
Amen.
There's been some valleys and some dark places, and tonight I can say I'm proud of every one of them.
Amen.
I got more schooling in the valleys and in the woods than I have on the mountaintop.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you it's right. You see, I watch all this stuff. I'm a people studier. I watch all these stuff about who's gone bad and who's got up and shouted and run the aisles and put their cigarettes on the altar and throw the television out and all that stuff, you know. And I go back again and they ain't even coming to church and smoking twice as much as they was and got a bigger television than they ever had.
Yep.
You say, what do you say about that, preacher? I'm just going to take care of my two sticks.
Amen.
Preach the word of God.
Amen.
Cry a little in the night and in the morning the tears will be gone.
Yeah.
Try to make God first.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what are you preaching tonight? Some of y'all are going to quit. I know you are. Some of you are going to quit. And I'm trying to get you not to. If I could help you some way, if you would just take your two sticks and keep going to church.
Amen.
And laying awake at night. I got so I sing to him now at night sometimes. I get up and stomp around and pray and kick around in the bed and get up and pray again and read the Bible. My wife said, you're killing me. She just moved out in the other room. But I sing to him a lot. If you was there, you wouldn't like it much, but me and him likes it.
Amen.
And I'll pray a while and cry a while.
Amen.
I don't know how many more roads of God, I don't know how many more messages I got to preach, but I'm having, I guess, the best time in my life. I'm having it right now.
Amen.
I learned how to be satisfied. Just me and my two sticks are doing what I can for the glory of God. I wonder where you are tonight. She went in the house and poured out that little bit of meal, that little bit of oil, a little fire, and made him a cake and took it to him. He said, y'all can go eat now. No doubt she said, we want to. My boys are crying because I brought what we had out here to you, and he's hungry. There's a lot of young Christians don't understand. There's a lot of old Christians don't understand either. That you just got to follow the Lord.
Amen.
That shocks my church sometimes, you know, and I just want to do what God said do.
Yeah.
I guess Elijah said, go in there and shake that cruise again and look down in the barrel. Y'all know how it went.
Yeah.
Old Elijah stayed with them a long time. There's enough every day.
Amen.
And whether it's the crows or whether there's an angel come and puts in a little more oil and a little more meal, God's taking care, because a woman had two sticks done what God told her to do.
Amen.
I don't know when all the preachers are going to leave now.
Yeah.
As it was in the days of Noah, there wasn't but one preacher. So if it gets like it was in the days of Noah, there's not going to be any preacher. If there's just one, I'm going to be it. Y'all can just give it up. I've got that in my mind and heart. Ain't that right, Brother Herbert?
Right.
If there ain't going to be but one church, it's going to be mine.
Right. Amen.
Standing, clawing, crying, saying, why, Lord, and thank you, Lord. And,
right.
You know, one day and everything's up, and the next time it's all down.
Yep.
Sue and John's quit coming, left the whole thing and mad at nothing. But I vowed it in my heart, I'm going to take these two sticks that God gives me and rub them together and make a fire. Go on a Sunday morning and Wednesday night, do my best to preach. Brother Tom's come to my church now, and he's what, him and his wife, what a help. What a help.
Amen.
Sometimes I'll have to say, Brother Tom, I can't hit it. I ain't got the strength to stand. Will you stand for me? And he does mightily and good. And thank God for it. But then again, after a while, the Lord said, I called you over there.
Amen.
And I'll crawl in the pulpit Amen. Again and say, one more lick.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
Because the crows and the widow woman still feed.
Amen.
Sometime when it's just me and you, I'd like to tell you about some things God's done for me that's supernatural. Somebody gave me a book, I guess it's my daughter. I'm amazed at these phones, you know, anymore. Everything on there, all I got's a little old flip phone, it's more than I can handle.
Yeah.
Just everything in the world are going on. Had a lady that's a librarian. I told my people Sunday. She brings me books and that the library don't need anymore. They got too many of the same kind. She brought me a big book about handling serpents in the church. I read that, you know, it's interesting history to me. But I told my wife, I said, honey, I've been reading and studying this here, and I'm thinking about changing over. And she said, I'm thinking about leaving you.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather do that than do some of the things some Baptist people are doing.
That's the truth.
And I've never said you look better going than you did a coming. Right. You see, if you're a loving pastor, that's part of your heart and what you've been praying for.
Right.
And I cry and say, God help them. A lot of times they didn't help me a bit while they was there. I mean, you know, you'd think, well, it'll be better now. But they were in my heart as their shepherd.
Amen.
And I say again, I wonder about y'all. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about your children? There's some folk here tonight. You got some children, unless something happens and change, they're going to hell. I got grandchildren. Unless something happens, they're going to hell.
Amen.
And I want them young'uns to love Papa. I want my children to love me.
Sure.
There's a God in heaven that I'm sworn to serve. And if I make them all mad and they leave and don't like me, that'll be all right. I'll take my two sticks and go on.
Amen.
Don't believe that's right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going through Buffalo, a little old town close to me right there. I met a whole road full of black people coming right towards me, just right in the middle of the road. I had just kind of pulled off. And I said, this crazy mess is on a demonstration of some kind. That don't happen around here. And then I saw a black preacher that I had confidence in, Brother Price, and he was marching at the head of them. And I said, I got to see what this is coming to. And they got down to Buffalo Creek right there, pulled off, and the preacher walked right out in the middle of that pretty good-sized creek from here to that chair, I guess, and stopped, and they all gathered around him. Everybody got quiet. And he looked up on the bridge, and there's a black woman up there, and he said, sing, sister. And she went to singing. And it echoed down. And I'm going to tell you, I thought to myself, red or yellow, black or white, if God's around, I can feel him with them same as I can with anybody.
Amen.
And she quit singing, and the preacher said, when the woods are all burnt, the smoke's gone off of every battlefield, me and God's going to still be around.
Amen.
What about you? Seen a lot of people walk away and seen mamas and daddies on the altar praying, God help.
Yeah.
But I've had mamas and daddies come to me and said, pray for my boy Jerry. I want you to pray. I got confidence in your prayers, Brother Milby. And I want you to pray for my boy. And I said, I will. Let's bow down here and I'll really pray for him. And they'll say, well, I don't have time. I want you to pray for him. I said, I don't know whether I've got time or either. No.
Right.
I think about 15 times in the New Testament, Jesus prayed. I think three times he prayed all night. Y'all ever pray all night?
Amen.
If you have, any of you prayed all night when the service is over, I want you to come talk to me about it. I'm really interested in prayer, that the supernatural power of God's in it.
Amen.
Do you pray an hour a day? Do you pray 30 minutes a day?
Right.
Do you pray 15 minutes a day? Do you really? When you pray, what kind of praying is it? Do you get alone? That's what he did. Shut off the rest of the world, and the disciples, Peter, James, and John, went so far, but as far as they could go, and then he went a little farther.
Right.
How is it with you when you pray? There's where the power is.
Right.
Is that what you want? Power from God.
Amen.
I'm talking about you, ma'am, and you, sir. It has no special calling. There's power in prayer. You've been told that. I want to tell you tonight, if you've not ever experienced that, when you go and pray and don't realize sometimes what all you did pray, but you know when you got up, it's all going to be took care of.
Amen.
When you know that the holy power of God's took a hold of you. I want to tell you all something. I never did in the power of God, hooping and hollering and doing all this kind of stuff, and I do it again. I never have done anything unscriptural.
Right.
I've seen whole families laid out on the floor. I'm talking about Baptist churches. Whole families laying on the floor. They said this passed out under the power of God. Seen ladies shout their hair down, hairpins laying in the altar ways. And you say, preacher, you think that's real? You better believe it. I know there's a lot of demonstrations going on that there ain't no God in, but I know when there's something real. You know what? We're ashamed. We're ashamed of God to raise our hands and say glory to God. We're afraid somebody will call us Pentecostal. I'm going to tell you, David danced a little bit when he was taking the ark back into the city, whether his wife liked it or not.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And we've got so far away from old time stuff. I'm talking about old time stuff now.
Right.
We've called ourselves independent, fundamental, premillennial, sin-hating, devil-fighting, Bible-believing. And some of the cheapest stuff I've ever been in is where people done that. And we've got to where we believe noise is God.
Right.
And I like that noise. I like that amen business. I really do. But I'm going to tell you, there's some deep running stuff that you get so far in, you can't holler.
Amen. Amen.
But me and my two sticks are going to walk on.
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
But when the brook dries up, don't move till he speaks to you again.
Amen.
I don't know how close your relationship is with God. And you hear me tonight here in this church and out yonder on your radio. Everything in this book is 100% true.
Amen.
And there's a way to walk and a determination in the heart of the children of God, whether you come to church and there's nobody there or not.
Right.
I carried on a meeting, a tent meeting, I believe. I thought this is going to be something. There was six or eight people there with me and the preacher. I preached that, and everybody said amen and sat there. And the preacher sung, and it just sat there. I thought, I can't do anything this way. Nobody'd help me. The preacher acted like he didn't like it. After service, I said, preacher, in the name of God, what's the matter with all these people? And he turned and looked me in the face and said, they're all lost. And I went back to my motel room and cried and said, I'll stay with it, Lord.
Amen.
But you know, if you're not having so-called success, you're tempted to quit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll give you about all I got for you tonight. And if I could just get into where you are and encourage you to go on, take your two sticks, build a fire for God.
Amen.
There's some little children watching me.
Yep.
And they're watching you. I preached one morning at my church where I'm at now, just rougher than usual. Everything that got up, I was just shooting it down. And I got done and said, just said, everybody standing with my head down. I said, you're dismissed. And nobody moved. And I thought they didn't hear me. And I said, "You're dismissed. I'm done with you. Just go on home. Come back next service." Nobody moved. But there's two or three little children come around the choir where their mama was. And little Josh, he's had glasses in that look like the bottom of Coke bottles. He's in England now in the Air Force. Looked up at me and said, "I like you preaching." Little old Tina, she's, well, she's reaching in my pockets thinking I had candy for her. She said, "Preacher, I love you." I said, "Y'all sit back down. I'm going to preach a little more." If they see you quit and know that you're a hypocrite, I don't blame them. Everybody stand, please. Ma'am, if you'll come to the piano, you ladies, I want to give you an altar call. You may need to come and say, "Lord, help me." That may be all you need to do is just come and say, "Lord, help me." And if that's right, that's what you ought to do. If you need to come and confess your weakness and wickedness, you ought to come to this altar and say, "God, have mercy on me." While we sing, will you respond and do what God wants you to do? While will they play on the instruments?
Whatever he says to do, as Mary said, do it. If you need to pray,